So again, talking all week about it, what it means to follow Christ, to follow me, to follow others, to have others following you as you follow Christ. And just to give you kind of the whirlwind tour, we talked about why we would follow Jesus at all, because he's unlike anything we've ever encountered. He's unlike anyone we've ever encountered. And he calls us into this eternal kind of life that we could never get on our own. And that starts, the response to that, to follow Jesus, is just a response of prayer. So you enter into this eternal kind of conversation with Jesus, and it's an ongoing way of just sharing life with Jesus, talking to Jesus. Well, once you start following Jesus, you find out that there's this book that Jesus has. And this is how Jesus, our teacher, what it means to follow somebody, this is how he teaches us. And we talked about ways to get started on reading the scriptures. And we talked about how as you read the scriptures, you should bring other people and other voices in just so we can better understand those scriptures. And so moving on from the scriptures then, I wanted to talk about how once you start to follow Jesus, hopefully before too long, and especially at a camp like this, you realize there's other people following Jesus. And I don't know if any of you have a favorite band. Okay, that's fair. How about a favorite team? Right? Favorite subject in school? Okay, right? Favorite president of the United States? Wow. Favorite anything? How about favorite strange movie that not many people have seen? Right? I'll just throw this one out. If I say Mystery Man, does that mean anything? Oh, okay. We can talk later. Oh man, let's not get going. So this is my point. If you, or Lord of the Rings, thank you, Jaren. Whose parent lets his five-year-old watch Lord of the Rings? So, when you've got like this thing that like you're suddenly into, and then you find somebody else who's like into that thing, right? That just sort of like magnifies, like, you like that too? No way, way, no way, way, yes. And then I don't know if you've ever had like this follow-up statement like, we have a club, or yeah, we're going to that concert, or you can totally come watch the game at my house. This is what I think of. There's this soccer tournament going on in Brazil right now. It happens like every 4 years. And all through Milwaukee right now, like all of the restaurants are trying to like say like, this is, we are the World Cup restaurant and we are the World Cup coffee shop and we are the World Cup hot dog stand. Okay, maybe nobody does that one. But everybody is like, they just know there are people that like the World Cup around, come to our place and like watch the World Cup. When we lived in Chicago, being native Wisconsinites, we're like, oh man, we don't want to watch Illini football. No offense. You're from Champaign. But three Rose Bowls in a row was pretty impressive. So we wanted to find out, like, where are we going to watch this? And, like, we heard it one day. I was just driving along. I heard on the radio, Badger fans. And I almost pulled my car over. I was like, that's me. How did he know? And he's like, looking for a place to watch the game. I'm like, I totally am. Like, who knew this? And then he gave this address. And so my wife and I went down, and we found all these people that love the Badgers living in Chicago. And so if you're into something and you ever find like a community that's also into that, it might be the greatest thing in the world. And so the thing about following Jesus is when you start following him and you find out there's other people following him, and those other people are God's family. They're part of Jesus's family. And so when you start following Jesus, it's not this like Lone Ranger Christianity that, well, it's like just you and Jesus and off you go into eternity. You enter this family that's almost 2,000 years old. And when you bring in the entire family of God, this is a thousands of years old community. And God has intended us as we're following him to follow him through his family, because ultimately there are ways in which God has promised to move and shape us that he's made through his family. So that's what I want to look at tonight, and I want to talk to you about Sunday mornings. Now, I'm just going to reference a cartoon show here, and if your family says you shouldn't watch it, you shouldn't watch it. But if you watch it, that's okay too. I remember this scene in The Simpsons one time when Marge was trying to... See, night. Marge was trying to get the kids like down to go to church. And I remember dumb stuff, as you probably can tell from the stories that I tell. I just remember this line where she yells to the kids, she's like, God only wants 1 hour a week. Now get in the car. And we often think that like, well, that's church. It's like this thing I do for like an hour a week, and then I got to do it the rest of the week. I used to sit in the balcony at church, and this is what I would do. And I would weigh, would I rather have like this hour of church or school, or go to church the whole week and only have to go to school for an hour? And sometimes I wasn't sure. I don't know, think about that one. That's kind of deep, right? Anyway, then I grew up and I paid attention to sermons. And so we tend to think of church as like, it's this hour of week that God expects, like, get it done. And if you read your Bibles, and I hope you do, or if you're in a community that it's way more than that, and I hope you are, you see that I need the church. I need the local body. We need the local body. And I want to look at what Jesus promises, in a sense, and this is going to be a completely simplistic looking at it, but what does Jesus bring on Sunday mornings? And then what do we bring on Sunday mornings? And what does that have to do with following Jesus? So let's start with Jesus. I don't have time to pull up all the scriptures, so I will say the scriptures, and then like a good Berean, you can look these up tonight. Jesus has promised his presence in a way that's different than the presence. So Romans 8 was read, and I love Romans 8. I used to make my eighth graders memorize it, and then my kid went to a school where they memorized it in the fourth grade, so I felt less awesome as a teacher, but glad that my child had memorized Romans 8. But in Romans 8, it tells us that if you are a child of God, then the Spirit of Christ dwells in you. So if you're following Jesus, Jesus is closer, as close as he can get. But he has promised his presence in a unique way. In Matthew, Jesus says, if there's two or three gathered, I'm there in a kind of a unique, special way. The Psalms tell us that God inhabits the praises of his people. So when God's people get together, you're in God's presence. Now, can you be in God's presence anywhere? Absolutely you can. But again, the scriptures, how our rabbi teaches us, have promised God will do something in a different way when his people get together. There's also the preaching of the word. I don't know if you come from a church where like the preaching is 15 to 20 minutes or an hour and 15 and 20 minutes, whichever is your fancy. As long as the scriptures are being preached, God has made promises. In Romans, God promises that faith will come through hearing the words of Christ. So one of the reasons that we gather with the family of God, with more people that are following Jesus, is because he's promised to meet us in a special way. He's promised that through his word, he will grant us and grow our faith. He's promised in Isaiah that he has something he wants to do with his word, and his word's not going to come back to him until it has done exactly what he wants. And he's also promised grace. When I went to college, I joined up with a Christian ministry. We met 1 week as a large group, once a week. We met in small groups. We would get up on Saturday mornings and knock on people's door and ask them if they wanted to take a survey, because that's what everybody in college wants to do at 7 in the morning after a late college night on a non-Christian campus. And then of course, they want to be confronted with life or death eternal matters and make a decision right now in the dorm room. So we would do stuff like that, or we would go out and just like hand out tracts and hand out books. And I remember thinking one time, man, this group does like everything a church does. I don't really need to get on that bus and go to church on Sunday mornings. And then a guy sat me down. He's like, yeah, but we don't have the sacraments. And sacrament is a really big theology word for these special ways in which God gives grace. We talked about how in John 6, Jesus told the masses that unless you eat my body and drink my blood, I can't have anything to do with you. And many left that day. Communion. I don't know if you go to a church that gives communion every month or every week. We've been in a church that does it every week for the last year and a half, and I love it. I don't know how I ever lived in my faith without it. But God has made special promises in communion. It's a reminder of and the act of forgiveness. It's spiritual feeding on him. And so again, we go and meet with the other followers of Jesus because of these special and unique promises that Jesus has made to us when we gather with them. But we also go because there's something that we bring to it. And I don't know if you ever thought of that before, that you and I should be in the local church body. You and I should be with the people of God because we bring something to church. We bring something to family worship. And if you're not there, to some smaller degree, those things aren't present that you could have brought. We bring our praises. A lot of skeptics will paint this picture of, well, what kind of God demands that you praise him, right? It seems kind of like an arrogant sports athlete who talks about himself in the third person. Like, who would demand that, right? Somebody mentioned C.S. Lewis the other night, and one of the things that I love about C.S. Lewis is C.S. Lewis has talked about how being in the presence of something beautiful, it just brings out of you like a wow, or that's amazing. And that's really, if we've tasted of the Lord, if we've decided Jesus is worth following, then it just makes sense to get together with other people who are following and to tell God why he's great. I played a lot of sports as a kid, and I'm a coach now, and so like athletic metaphors, like they make sense to me. But if you've ever been to a college football game, or if you've ever been to some pro football games, if you've ever been to a baseball game, Brewers games are really exciting, especially since they're winning this year. But if you've ever been to these things, amen. Let's go first place, crew. If you've ever been, I'll just use Badger football games. If you go to a Badger football game, they sing like the same five songs at every single football game, every year, ever since my dad and his dad and his dad were students there. And nobody cares. Nobody says, we're going to sing Alma Mater. We're going to sing On Wisconsin Again. We're going to sing, you know, Late Last Night When We Were All in Bed. Mrs. O'Leary Hung the Lantern in the Shed. Like all these songs, they just sing them at every single game. And what does everybody do? They stop what they're doing and they sing this song because you have this ginormous stadium full of people who are excited about the same thing. And they can't help but just sing about it. And interestingly enough, the scriptures command us to sing to one another. In Colossians, the Apostle Paul says, look, make music in your heart and then sing songs to one another. So there's something about singing where, yes, there's the vertical, we sing to God, but then there's this horizontal where our singing actually can build faith in the person next to me. I don't know if you've ever been like next to somebody and it's their song. Anybody ever sang next to that one? We used to go to this church, and I wish our church still had this. We had a tambourine lady. Has anyone in the church ever had a tambourine lady? Man! I was just like, I think I want to sit closer to her. First of all, she brings her own tambourine, right? I'm just wondering, like, did she visit? And she's like, they don't have one? Okay, brought mine, right? And like, you know that the Spirit is moving because boom, here it comes. And it's just fantastic. And I don't know if you've ever just been next to somebody where like, you know this song means something like more. And if you can ever like stand next to that person, right? There's just something about like, I got to be near to you because you are feeling Jesus right now. And I don't know if you ever had like a morning when you're just kind of like not feeling it. You need that person next to you that's just singing and they're off key and they've never even seen a sheet of music, but I'm going for it on this one. And there's something about that that just, ooh, like it gets to your faith, right? And even if you don't like the tune, there's just something about this song. And so that's part of following Jesus. I had a friend one time, I've had friends more than one time, but I had a friend who, or he had gone with my brother-in-law to like one of these gatherings, and he was like, hey, how was it afterward? Or he asked him afterwards, and he's like, oh, it was kind of cool. The karaoke part was kind of weird, though. I don't know if you ever like thought about like, ever since we don't do hymnals anymore, like there's only one other place in the world where they put lyrics up front and you sing, and it's karaoke. So it's kind of funny. I'm like, oh yeah, it is kind of like that. But the point was, yeah, Christians have been doing that for as long as there've been Christians. And like the Jewish people who we kind of got into their family, they've been singing for thousands of years. So there's just this thing about people that follow God, they can't help but sing to him. And so that's part of why we get together with God's family. We also bring our prayers. Now, can you go and pray by yourself? Absolutely. Jesus actually kind of expects you to be doing it. When he's talking to the disciples, he says, and when you pray, so Jesus assumes you're praying, but there is something about all of God's people getting together and lifting their voice and telling God, we need you. And there's something about, in our church service, we have prayers of the people, and it's every single week. And we come from a tradition that has been using kind of a skeleton of prayers. And it hits like everything. We pray for the government. We pray for the nations. We pray for hurting people. We pray for struggling. And it's just like, and so there's just these moments where if you feel something in that, there's this quiet and you just call that name out. And there's something about everybody saying, yes, Lord, right now, help that person. And the Bible promises something different. James chapter 5 says, confess your sins to one another so that you can be prayed for and healed. And there's something about elders, if you approach your elders. We've been going to churches for a few years that have prayer at the end of the service. And a handful of years back, I had a backache for 18 months. Anybody ever had one of those? You are blessed. And so I used to go up and get prayer for it. And then like you finally figured out what it was and it was gone. And I felt the Spirit nudge me the next week of like, why wouldn't you go get prayer anymore? And so I just keep, if someone's offering to pray, like I go ask them for prayer. Because the Bible promises something different when you're with the people of God. And then there's something else. And I had two P's going, so I put a third one in there. In our church, after we confess our sins and there's a pronouncement of forgiveness, we do what's called passing the peace. I don't know if any of your churches do that, but that's where we walk. In the non-denominational churches I went to, that was when you would shake hands and say, good morning. And so in this church tradition, we shake hands and say, God's peace or the peace of Christ to you. And the amazing thing about that is, as our pastor explained it, is it's meant to, we all just confess our sins as a congregation, and then we were forgiven the pronouncement, and it's meant to turn around and say, like, we all have peace with God. May you have peace with God. And there's something even deeper on that too, is every now and then, if God's family is like the rest of our families, you have conflict in your family, right? You just don't always get along with your brother. You don't always get along with your sister. And there's something about, we're still going to go and we're going to meet as a family. Any of you guys have those? Your parents are like, we're going to have family time tonight and everyone's going to have fun. Man, you people, right? Okay, it's just my house, I guess. So, but there's something about even when we are not seeing eye to eye with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And I've had this happen where there's just somebody else in the church. And it wasn't like this major thing. Like, they didn't steal from me and they didn't, you know, harm me, but there were just like some friction over some words that had said, and the Lord had worked in me. And then during the peace time, I just felt the Spirit say, like, go find that person, and you're gonna look them in the eye and shake their hand and say, the peace of Christ be with you. And that changes you. So there's something about, I'm following Jesus, and Jesus has all these other people following him, so we're family, and Jesus' family gets together, and they do these things on a regular basis. So it's in a very real sense, if I'm going to follow Jesus and take Jesus seriously, and I'm going to enter into this eternal kind of life with him, an eternal kind of conversation that involves letting him teach me, there comes a point then where I got to get together with his family because now they're my family. And it's through meeting with God's family that Jesus does something in me that changes me. So I know not all of us come from homes where that's possible. And if your family does this every Sunday morning, then thank God for that. Or if your church meets like Saturday night or this really weird church I went to that met Wednesdays. Thank God that you're a part of a family like that. If your family doesn't, like at all, I would encourage you just to tell your folks, like you'd be interested in going to a church. Just kind of float that out there. See if they would take you. If they won't, then there are all those promises from God that you can still follow Jesus in your home. But it's something definitely to pray about and to just ask your folks or to ask them if they would have any problem with you going with a friend of yours, maybe that you came to camp with, or maybe a friend of yours you know at your school. But long, big picture, people that are following Jesus get together with other people that are following Jesus because of the great promises that Jesus has made that he will do in and through his people when they get together. I want to close again by adding another verse on to the refrain we've been singing. We'll sing it through two times. I will follow with your family. I will worship with your family. I will share life with your family. I will follow just you. Sing that again. I will follow.
I will worship with your family. I will share life with your family. I will follow just you.
Jesus, we thank you that when you offer us an eternal kind of life and call us to follow you, it's not just you and me. As incredible as that is, we get to join with those saints that have gone before, all those saints worldwide who are following you, and we join an incredible family. And so we pray, Jesus, that we would see other Jesus followers as exactly that family, and help us, not just as our time here, to look at it that way, but when we go home, give us grace, if we're a part of a family, Lord, to really commit to loving and being a part of that family. And if we don't have that local family of Jesus followers, would you please give us the grace that we could find one? And so we ask for that along with a blessing on our evening. In your name, Jesus. Amen.